Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show on this Friday, going into Halloween weekend. Thank you for being with us. Remember, we got former President Trump, perhaps future President Trump as well, we'll see, joining us in just about 30 minutes or so. We'll have the former president with us. We'll ask him a lot of important questions. He's got a big media play that's already been announced, but what is it going to do? What's next for it? We'll discuss. In the meantime, President Biden on his big European tour, the G20 happening, a lot of economies, the biggest 20 economies in the world coming together with their leaders to talk, you know, climate change, the usual globalist claptrap. We got our friend David Harsanyi with us now. He is a senior writer at National Review, got a perfectly timed book out, Eurotrash, Why America Must Reject the Failed Ideas of a Dying Continent. David, my friend, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So I have a feeling we have some idea about what's going to go on here. You're going to have Biden with the fancy latte set talking about climate agenda and some other stuff. But as a part of all this, as a backdrop to this, why is it that Democrats are obsessed with getting approval from Europeans about our economic policies? I don't think we have very much to learn from them. And I get a sense that from this book, you feel the same way.
I do. I mean, one stat, just a quick stat that really stands out. If Britain was a state in the United States, it would be the second poorest state per capita after Mississippi. It's not as if these people are successful in ways that we're not, or we need lessons from them. But I think that most Democrats, at least, you know, they admire the technocratic institutions over in Europe that tell people how to act and what they can do, the big welfare states, which make people dependent on government. And then that way, of course, controlling the citizens. So I think they admire that those sorts of things exist in Europe. The problem, of course, is it undermines entrepreneurship. It undermines, creativity and all the things that make America better and more special than most European nations.
It's really a pretty, I'm blown away. It's rare that we hear a stat on the show and it takes my, it's like amazing. That is a wild about if Britain were a state, it would be the second poorest after Mississippi. It seems interesting, though, that Britain, in many ways, seems to have declared independence from the rest of Europe via Brexit and what the fallout is going to be there. How would you analyze that relationship and what it means for the United States' relationship with different European countries based on what Britain is doing right now?
Well, I mean, the British have always been a little bit different. They've always had a hard time assimilating into a bigger Euro superstate, you know, and many of our ideas, frankly, come from Britain, right? So I think that could have been somewhat more expected, but I don't know that it changes much. They still have a very big bureaucracy. They still have dependency. They still have people vote. Even their conservatives are what we consider status types. You know, it's not as if it's really just big government parties fighting amongst each other. So I think that that's just a problem. They have a problem with assimilation as well, like other countries do. So as much as I admire the British ideals, I'm not sure that it's going to change many of the dynamics in Europe. But I mean, I'm still happy they're not part of the European Union, I guess. So that's a plus.
David, you know, one thing that often comes up, and we got, as I said, Biden over there, and he's doing the whole, oh, I'm so sorry to Emmanuel Macron of France because of the nuclear submarine deal. The French thought they'd get billions of dollars out of this contract to provide subs to Australia, and they felt blindsided. So that's coming up. A lot of climate change stuff going on, of course. They're going to talk a lot about that, and no one actually does anything meaningful on it over in Europe, but they pretend. David, we often will hear, though, whenever they're pushing socialism in America, this is what ends up happening. You'll have a lot of smug leftists here say, oh, you mean that we'll be like that terrible dystopia known as Sweden or Denmark? I mean, it's more, yes, okay, they have a large welfare state in those countries, but what is your response when people just say that they want America to be Denmark, at least economically? What would the reality of that actually be? I mean, what are the parts of this that are left out of the discussion?
Well, first of all, the way that they paint Denmark, for instance, or even Sweden, is just untrue. It's not a socialist state. They have turned towards, in the 70s, they became more socialistic. But since then, that hasn't been working. They've tried to become more like us. Denmark is a capitalist country with a massive welfare state. And the idea that we could scale that kind of welfare state here, and let's face it, that's what they want to do. You know, whether it's $3.5 trillion or $1.5 trillion, you know, it's just incrementally going towards that place. We can't scale that kind of system. We would build a gigantic centralized bureaucracy in Washington. It's just not how this country is supposed to be in the first place. And I'm not sure why we would want to be more like them. Their health care isn't better than our health care. They claim it's free, but of course everyone has to pay for that. And another part of that that Bernie never mentions and others is that they pay 65% off the bat in taxation off their income. I mean, it's not like Democrats are trying to raise taxes on the middle class. They just want to take it from the rich. You can't have that kind of system. And the Europeans don't even try. So they're worse. Progressives here are in many ways worse than Europeans because they want to have this massive state, but they don't even want to pay for it.
It's fascinating that we just heard and have seen all the controversy surrounding the relationship with the United States and Australia and England over submarines, but it's predicated really on China. Much of the United States' relationship with Europe, at least since World War II, has been about protecting different parts of Europe, primarily from the Soviet Union. What is the relationship going forward in your mind going to look like as we move into, at a minimum, a new Cold War against China? Can Europe be mobilized to be strongly allied against China in the same way we all were against Russia and the Soviet Union? Or is China going to be able to pull apart some of those relationships by spending a lot of money in these different European countries and trying to buy allies in that respect? How do you see this new dynamic playing out?
Oh, I just don't think that European nations, Western European nations, or even Eastern, actually see China as the same kind of threat they saw the Soviet Union or that communism that was right on their doorstep. And frankly, you know, I don't think Donald Trump made a big deal about Germany not paying its fair share, which is a completely fair thing to say. I mean, even Barack Obama used to complain about that. They don't. So not only are they trying to compete with us economically, but we pay for their safety generally, you know. So I don't think that post-Cold War model works anymore. And I don't think they view China as the same kind of threat as we do. Obviously, I think that our relationships and our focus has to shift towards China. They are the real danger in many ways. And they're a bigger danger in many ways because they're also an economic power, probably in the way the Soviet Union never was, as far as a trade partner, et cetera. So I don't think Europe's going to be on board with that with us. They're not even on board against Russia these days. I mean, Germany wants us to pay for NATO, but then they have a pipeline going to bring natural gas and oil from Russia. I mean, I just don't understand how that relationship can remain the same way moving forward in the world.
We're speaking to David Harsanyi. He's got a new book out, Euro Trash, Why America Must Reject the Failed Ideas of a Dying Continent. And to that end, David, a dying continent. Liberals in this country, and I don't even like that term for them, but we still use it, but the left in this country is obsessed with trying to turn us into some American version of a Western European or Northern European state. Why is it what are the failed ideas and how is it a dying continent over there? Because I feel like these are, we always just think of the charming cobblestone streets and the lattes and the free health care. It's not that simple.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally dying in the sense that they're old. Germany, I think, is the second oldest advanced country after Germany. People don't have children. So because they don't have children, they let in a lot of immigrants. And there's nothing wrong with immigration, at least not from my perspective. There's something wrong with immigration without assimilation. And that's what happens there. So, I mean, and then you have other cultures who aren't, integrating into society, and that creates other tensions, like hyper-nationalistic, you know, sentiments, and it gets ugly. And that's what's happening now, I think, in Europe. But I just want to quickly say, I mean, listen, if we're going to be like Western Europe, it doesn't mean that we're going to be a tyranny here or that, like, you know, we won't have wealth. We're going to be wealthy. We'll just be an insipid place. You know, the point of America is entrepreneurship, risk-taking, you know, and basic freedoms that they mock when you talk about now on the left. But those are the things that matter. That's what makes us different and special. That's why people stream in here. That's why they're pressing against the border right now. No one is picking up a musket for the European Union. You know, I mean, people care about America for reasons beyond just wealth. And that, I think, is the biggest danger when you have giant bureaucracies. They crush that spirit. They crush local communities. And that's what's happening in Europe. And we, you know, I just don't think we should let that happen here. That's the point of the book.
The author is David Harsanyi. The book, Euro Trash, Why America Must Reject the Failed Ideas of a Dying Continent. David, congrats. Best of luck. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Come back in a few moments here to, basically have a little chat with Clay and then a chat with Clay and President Trump. We're going to have a whole discussion with the former president. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to that one. What is the president's favorite candy? Have him weigh in on that one. Maybe also, do you think, quick one, Clay, do you think President Trump is or is not a scary movie guy? I don't know if anyone's ever asked him this one.
I was actually wondering about that. I don't know how big of a huge movie guy he is, right? Like, what's Trump's favorite movie? Do you know?
No idea. I do know that he orders his steaks well done, and he likes burgers. So there's some stuff,
McDonald's.
There's some minutia that we know, but we'll come back into that with the former president. If you have any questions you want us to ask him, I mean, obviously we're not going to get them all, but if we see a great one that we can work in, you can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/BuckSexton. Send me your thoughts there. On Instagram, Buck Sexton. Clay on Twitter and on Instagram at Clay Travis. Tell us what you want us to ask former President Trump, because we're going to have him live here in just a few minutes. And also, if you want to talk to us, 800-282-2882. Trying to take some pre-Halloween calls before the weekend at the end of this hour. Nearly one-third of Americans suffer from chronic pain as a result of aging, living, exercising, you name it. These are folks who are not yet benefiting from Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you. With four key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. If you're currently in pain, you have a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it. Those are pretty fantastic odds. And what do you have to lose? Clay, where do they go? How do they get it?
You need to get hooked up like Buck's dad and my wife already have. You can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com, or you can call 800-4-RELIEF. To get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed specifically for you at relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having a fantastic Friday on Halloween Eve. Going to be talking with President Trump, 45 himself, in about 10 minutes. Hope all of you are going to enjoy that. Getting ready for Halloween, by the way, Buck. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, absolutely destroying favorite Halloween candy poll that I put up. Destroying M&M's, Twix, Snickers, apologies to Kit Kat, and for not including them. We have had a loaded program so far. Allison Williams was with us at the top of hour two. She's the ESPN employee who walked away from her job over a COVID vaccine mandate. Encourage you to get out there, subscribe to the podcast. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. And Trump, I don't know if he's officially announced that he's going to be there yet. I'm sure he'll discuss it with us here in a few minutes. But Buck, one way to think about Donald Trump going to Atlanta on Saturday is it's an early volley in the 2022 midterms and in the 2024 presidential election, because the Atlanta Braves hosting the World Series the year that the All-Star game was taken away from them. I always say the two most popular things in Georgia are not Democrats, Republicans, no president. It's the Atlanta Braves and the Georgia Bulldogs. And so this is going to be an electric atmosphere on Saturday with Trump in the building. And I think the national media is going to have to recognize this is Trump's crowd. There's going to be a lot of Let's Go Brandon chants, which are going to be very audible on Saturday night if you're watching the World Series. And I think the overall reception for Trump is going to be electric, and it is going to help to catapult, I really believe this, the 2022 midterm battle, because Herschel Walker is running against Warnock. We lost two Senate seats in Georgia, which allow it to be 50-50 right now. I think Herschel Walker is going to beat Warnock, and this is going to be a major battleground in 22.
Georgia is a place that we have to take back as Republicans. I mean, we gave up two Senate seats in the last election that should not have gone to Democrats. And we see now all it would take is one of those to go a different way. We're not even having this conversation about whether the Biden agenda will get rammed through. I mean, just the notion that there should even be a discussion about a multi-trillion-dollar Biden agenda spending package when you've got a 50-50 Senate as it is, and what, a margin of a handful in the House? As if that's some kind of mandate for trillions of dollars of additional spending beyond the automatic spending and the emergency COVID spending that we already have seen the last year. So, yeah, I think that this could be a turning point moment. I think that people are recognizing that there will be consequences, hopefully, for the poor governance of the Democrats. And we've got this the Youngkin race in Virginia coming up on Tuesday. We have a mayor's race in New York City. I think, unfortunately, it's going to go to the Democrat. I wish I could say otherwise. But the consequences of the NYPD vaccine mandate may be coming to a head, where you have thousands. I mean, the latest numbers on that for everybody out there, just so you have some idea of what we're talking about, it is thousands and thousands of first responders, police, firefighters, you name it, who could be affected by this vaccine deadline that comes up on Monday. So there are some reports that there are going to be mass exemptions given, but this is going to focus people in on it really matters who wins these elections. It really matters if people show up or not. And one thing that I'm really hoping to hear as well from President Trump is that we got to get everybody in every important race, or everybody rather who can vote in an important race across the country to show up, because you see, I think people have recognized, Clay, during COVID more than at any time in recent memory, how much state elections matter, how much local elections matter. And of course, the federal government, we've known that for some time, the many, many headed hydra of federal overreach. But here we are seeing President Trump showing up, and that'll be amazing. Herschel Walker, too. I think he's got, I mean, you know, we both think he's got a big future.
Yeah, look, I'm interviewing Herschel on Fox News later tonight as a part of the Sean Hannity show. Herschel is in town for the Florida-Georgia game and the cocktail party, as they call it, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. It's an incredible scene every year here in Jacksonville, which is where I'm broadcasting from right now. And I got to tell you, this Virginia race, the amount that is at stake, if you are listening to us right now and you are in the state of Virginia and you want to send a message that is going to resonate in a massive way, maybe more than the Virginia governor's race has ever mattered before in terms of its national impact, you need to get out and vote for Glenn Youngkin. You need to be advocating for him. Fox News poll had him up 8 points. Everybody else basically has this a 1 point or so election. This is a time to fight back and send a message to the Biden administration and everybody else. Up next, President Trump, 45 himself, going to join us. In the meantime, you need to save some money. You see what inflation is doing? You see what's happening to your paycheck getting whittled away? Get closer and closer to the holidays. How much could saving money make a difference for you and your family? Can you believe you could save $12,000 a year at American Financing? All you have to do, listen to me right now on this Friday, to get ready for Halloween, get your phones in your hand. Call 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. You can also go to AmericanFinancing.net. Guys and girls, you and your family, 10 minutes, you can save $12,000 or more. That's $1,000 a month. How much difference would that make for you and your family? Make the call today, 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck in NYC, my man Clay down in Jacksonville, Florida. And as promised, we are joined right now by President Donald J. Trump, the 45th President of the United States. President Trump, great to have you on, sir.
Well, it's great to be with you, and I hear you guys are doing big numbers, and that makes me happy.
Makes us happy too, sir. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell us about this. A lot of attention. We got so many questions asking about politics and the Virginia race and the Democrats and the border. But first, Truth Social. This is, people have been waiting for this for a while. We know big tech is against conservatives. We know they're against you. You're doing something about it. Tell us about this Truth Social project.
Well, I wanted to do something where we can put our voice out. And that's all voices, liberal and conservative, because frankly, if you look at Twitter, it's become very boring. They've lost a tremendous amount of audience. It's become boring as can be because conservatives are off it. Now, they got me out. I had, hundreds between Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, way over 100 million people, way, way over, closer to the next number. And frankly, our voice has been taken away. So I wanted to do something important, something that couldn't be taken down. And I think it's going to be terrific.
Mr. President, appreciate you coming on with us. I know you got a busy weekend upcoming. I believe you're going to be in Atlanta for the Astros-Braves game. What kind of reception do you expect to get, and do you plan on doing the tomahawk chop to support the Atlanta Braves? Evidently, that's now super controversial. Have you seen the woke universe out there saying, oh, you can't do the Atlanta Brave tomahawk chop? They're really upset with Braves fans for doing that.
Well, I think it's ridiculous when you get right down to it. The Cleveland Indians are changing their name to the Guardians. Now, that was an original franchise, I guess one of six. But they're changing their name to the Cleveland Guardians. Now, at least we can say the Atlanta Braves are not changing their name. Yankees, great guy, invited me. And so I'll be going with the First Lady, and we'll have a good time. And both great teams. I mean, it's going to be very interesting.
We're speaking to former President Donald J. Trump right now.
Tremendous, tremendous, terrible things happened in terms of that election and election fraud, frankly. But we did tremendously in Georgia, and I think we'll get a great reception.
Mr. President, I've got to ask you, the border right now, I mean, I'm sure you saw the story. They're really working hard to undo what your administration did to secure the border. That's been, from day one, the Biden administration approach. But what are your thoughts as you see that the Biden DOJ is thinking about writing $450,000 a person checks as some kind of a makeup for what your administration was doing some years ago?
Well, one of the things we were doing is, separation, which was done before us, but separation. When people heard that, they didn't come, because if a parent hears they're going to be separated, they didn't come. One of the reasons I was so successful at the border. When you look at what they're doing at the border, there's never been anything like it. The greatest we've ever had went to the worst, probably one of the worst in the history of the world, because no country can sustain what's happening to our country. And as you know, after 2.5 years, I won all the 11 legal cases, and we started the wall, and it was almost finished. Would have been finished within a month, and they didn't finish it. Now, most of it's built anyway, so it has a big impact. But between the wall and remain in Mexico, people weren't allowed into our country. I worked it out with the Mexican government. They gave us 28,000 soldiers free. That was because I wasn't going to tariff their cars. They treated us really well, and we had it stopped. And we also stopped drugs to a large extent. I mean, we never had such good numbers on drugs and people. If you look at what's happening now, they're emptying their prisons into the United States. We've become a dumping ground, and it's a very, very sad thing. Now, on top of everything, I understand they're going to give certain people $450,000. It's not even believable what they're doing. It's not even believable. And you have big caravans coming up. You have tough caravans. They went right through the Mexican police like it was butter. We better stop them. That's all I can tell you. We're taking in millions of people into our country illegally, and these people are rough people. Many of them are rough, rough people.
Mr. President, you tweeted out Inflation Nation. I know you're a fan of McDonald's. I saw where McDonald's is having to increase their prices 6%. Joe Biden is saying that he's not in any way raising taxes on people, even though he is. What do we have to do to end this inflation onslaught, which I believe is at a 30-year high? I think even Jimmy Carter's looking around wondering what in the world's happened.
Well, Jimmy Carter's looking very good right now because, he was sort of used as an example of how not to do things, and he's done a lot better than what they're doing right now. No, it is Inflation Nation. And to a certain extent, it starts with the energy, fuel, You take a look at what we did. We were a totally, we were free. We were free from the Middle East. We were free from everything. We were energy independent. I think really the first time ever, they say the first time in 75 years, I would say the first time ever. And I was very proud of it. Now it's the opposite. They're going to OPEC, Russia. They went to Saudi Arabia individually. We need oil. We need oil. We're begging. And if you saw, there are certain places in California where it starts at $7.77 a gallon. And we had it down to $1.87 when I left. I mean, think of that. And that's bigger than any tax. You know, if you look at that, where you're talking about $3, $4, $5 more, there's no tax that you're going to do that's bigger than that. But what it's doing is everything evolves around and revolves around energy. So what they're doing, fellas, is it's whether it's delivering a product, making a product, it all takes energy. And the energy now, we don't have it. They just gave up Anwar in Alaska, the biggest, probably the biggest drilling site anywhere in the world, perhaps as big as Saudi Arabia. Reagan tried to do it. They all failed. Everybody failed for decades and decades. I got it done. And they just, Lisa Murkowski did a terrible job, the senator from Alaska. She's absolutely terrible. She approved a person who, in the first day in office, wiped out Anwar. So, you know, it's one of those things. You have to get the energy back. If you're going to have high energy, you're going to have inflation. And there are many other things, but you have to start it with energy. We had it. We had so much energy. We've never had it so good. And we were energy independent, and now they're begging OPEC for help.
We're speaking to former President Donald J. Trump right now, live with all of you listening across the country. Mr. President, right now we are days away from a major deadline in New York City for first responders and members of the NYPD to get vaccinated. There have been thousands of people already across the country, including nurses, doctors, first responders, who have lost their jobs, who have willingly decided they would not get the shot, they would give up their careers instead of bending the knee to these mandates. What do you think of the mandates, and what do you want to say to those who either have lost or face job loss, including NYPD, other law enforcement, and first responders across the country in this situation? What do you want to say to them?
Well, New York City has been terribly run under de Blasio. He's the worst mayor in the history of our city by far. Probably the worst mayor. I don't know. There's a couple we could name, and we know them all. But, you know, as bad as any mayor has ever been in the history of our country. And you look at what he's done with mandates. You know, it's interesting. I'm so proud of what we did. And you understand that. I'm so proud of what we did with the vaccines. It was us. It was the Trump administration. We got three of them, therapeutics with Regeneron and all of it. I'm so proud of it. But people have to have freedom. They have to be able to choose. And what they have done with the mandates, everyone's quitting. If you remember what happened during, we didn't have a mandate problem. Everybody actually rushed. They wanted to get the vaccine. And now they do have, because I don't think they trust the Biden administration. I think that's what's happened. They just don't trust the Biden administration. We had, when we came out with a vaccine and we were doing over 1 million a day, people weren't talking about not getting it. Everybody wants to get it. Then they did the Johnson & Johnson pause. And they did other stupid things, and they said the wrong thing. And all of a sudden, you have a big mandate problem. Look, you're going to lose your police force in New York, a big portion of it. Crime is rising in New York like never before. And now you're going to have perhaps 30% less police on the streets. It is absolutely insane. You have a mayor who's grossly incompetent and doing this. And you obviously, you have other industries where it's happening too. You're going to lose a lot of people. It's a terrible thing for our nation, what they're doing.
Much less serious, Mr. President, but it is Halloween Eve. I know you're going to be at the Braves game against the Astros. That's going to be a lot of fun on Halloween Eve. But we were debating, what is your go-to candy? I know you got a little bit of a sweet tooth. And have you given out Halloween candy? Do you make a specific choice? I'm going to give this one to the kids yourself. How involved are you in the Halloween process?
Well, I do like candy of all kinds. I'm an expert on candy. And, you know, they have the expensive candy, and then they have the Hershey, and I like Hershey, and I like anything with caramel in it. Does that make sense to you? Anything. But I do like the candy stuff. Unfortunately, I'd be much better if I didn't.
We need to come down. We talked the last time we had you on, Mr. President, about coming down to Mar-a-Lago. We've been talking to your staff. We want to come down when it starts to get cold in the part of the country where we are. But you tell us a date when you'd like to have us down. The show is doing fantastically well, thanks to Rush's loyal listeners and thanks to you and guests coming on. You tell us when you want us down. We want to do a live broadcast from Mar-a-Lago with you.
Good.
We will have a lot of fun
going on in Virginia. When politics gets even hotter, you come down. I'd love to have you, actually. It would be great to have both of you. Both really terrific people, and you really, Rush would be very proud of the job you're doing.
Thank you so much. Former President Trump, everybody.
Enjoy the game.
Great to have you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Dude, we're going down to Mar-a-Lago, Clay. It's got to happen.
I can't wait, Buck, to see the reception that he's going to get in Atlanta, because I think that it is going to blow the mind of all the left-wing woke journos when that Brave Stadium comes undone for him.
People miss MAGA now more than they have in a long time, because we're seeing what the absence of MAGA looks like. The Tulsa Towers Foundation made a promise to America. They will do good each and every day, honoring our first responders and soldiers. The foundation has done incredible things this year, the most remarkable being the gift of 200 mortgage-free homes to America's heroes and their families. These are soldiers and first responders, and their families are living with life-changing injuries and after effects of fighting the war on terrorism. Tunnel to Towers Foundation believes in helping them, and with your donations, they're accomplishing that and fulfilling their promise. In November, they'll be recognizing those we lost in the war on terror in a ceremony on Veterans Day. And after that, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, they'll give away a home a day in their season of hope. Help Tunnel to Towers do good. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. In case you're wondering what kind of Halloween candy the president liked. I mean, he was ready for that question. He was locked and loaded.
He's admitting to having a sweet tooth. Look, I got a sweet tooth, too. Basically, anything interesting. He went anything caramel. I would go anything chocolate I basically like and eat too much of. And the president and I have the same sweet tooth situation there. I didn't want to press him. I wanted to be like, so are we talking Werther's? Because I think that's a caramel-flavored hard candy. Or is he? Possibly a Rolos guy? Did we find out something very unexpected about the former president? I don't even know.
Yeah, fascinating. We're still setting up our trip to Mar-a-Lago. Buck and I are going to get. I think we're supposed to go. One of the things we're doing, by the way, and I'm probably going to get us in trouble here. We're trying to go around and meet different affiliate stations to just say thank you for hosting us as it corresponds with our travel schedule. So it's been fortunate that I've been on the road a decent amount, but I've gotten to meet a lot of affiliate stations. You're taking trips to meet affiliate stations all the time, too, just to thank everybody out there. And so we're planning on being in South Florida sometime in January, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
And probably, I mean, I think it's a good chance, you know, WFLA Tampa might get a visit from the Bucks, or maybe Clay too if he wants, and probably WIOD Miami gonna get a visit from the Bucks. Definitely like the January, February
time frame.
Those
are good. If you have good weather, that's a good time to invite us to be down in Florida. So we're going to be down in Florida. We're just down in Houston. When it starts to get a little bit cold, other places will definitely be set up there. By the way,
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. I just going to say I have a quick news item I wanted to throw in the mix before we say our scariest movie for the Halloween weekend. And we tell everybody to set up. This Cuomo thing, I mean, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, bringing it into New York State here for a second. The sheriff is on TV right now saying they've got a solid case, a sexual assault case against Cuomo. We're talking criminal charge here, folks, for groping a subordinate. And it looks like they're pressing this. I mean, you might have the former governor arrested and brought up on these charges in a way that they're going to take this all the way. I did not see this coming. I mean, I know we had seen some of the allegations, but they're taking this guy, they're taking this all the way against him right now, Clay. This is pretty remarkable.
A fall from grace, the likes of which, frankly, we've almost never seen in the history of politics. To go,
Elliot Spitzer. I mean,
but Elliot Spitzer was more of a local story. Cuomo was like, there was talk of ripping Biden out of the president.
When you add in the height to the fall.
Yes.
It's
really kind of unprecedented to think. I mean, he might go on trial facing jail time, which I don't think anybody would have. I mean, it's crazy. And by the way, not jail time for probably his most heinous act as an elected official, which was the way that he handled nursing homes in New York, not the, you know, to say nothing about any other
misappropriate
behavior.
There are people who bury relatives because Cuomo is a stubborn, sluggish moron. That actually happened. Lots of them. But he's not going away for that. They're Me Too-ing this guy, and Me Too-ing in the more Weinstein sense of, it's not just he was inappropriate, but they're looking at now criminal charges. The sheriff, Craig Apple, Albany County, New York, right now on TV on Fox News saying, we have a solid case against Cuomo. I mean, this, to your point, Clay, remarkable. All right, we only got a minute. We'll follow this up on Monday. A minute to go. Clay, scariest movie you've ever seen and Halloween movie recommendation for the weekend. You got two. We got about 60 seconds here. So give me what you got.
You were afraid to watch these. I'm going Conjuring.
I'm going
The Conjuring 1 and 2, recent movies. Also, Paranormal Activity. I watched Paranormal Activity and had to leave the lights on in my own house. This is probably 7 or 8 years ago I watched that movie. So Conjuring 1 and 2, I think they're fantastic, and Paranormal Activity. Those are all recent ones. What about you?
No, that's excellent. I mean, the scariest movie I've ever seen is The Exorcist, no question.
Super
Nothing
scary.
Else comes close. And I lived right next to The Exorcist steps in D.C., which did freak me out. I mean like 50 feet from them, or 100
feet
from them.
D.C. is phenomenal
right
on
there.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Such a fun time.
D.C.'s a great Halloween town for that. And then for a movie, I actually like this Netflix series I've been watching a few episodes of. I'd recommend it to anyone who's looking for something new this weekend. Midnight Mass. It's actually pretty good. I will say it's pretty good so far, a few episodes in. But everyone have a very spooky, very safe Halloween. Clay and I'll be back with you on Monday. Clay, have a fantastic Halloween party. Sorry I'm missing it, but I got to recuperate here, my man. And
yeah,
you and the folks have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. My wife all in on the Halloween party. We got people from the show rolling in. Allie, I believe, is in Nashville, our producer right now. It's going to be an awesome time. You and your families have fun Halloweens as well. We'll be back with you on Monday. Go Youngkin.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.